Good evening, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the webcast for another week. We're just so glad you've come to join us. How are you, Barry?
I'm doing good, my brother. Thank you. And I'm glad to be with all our friends in different places.
Yeah. Yep. Under the old, we keep referring to the old system, you know, the webcast as it was a few months ago before we got this new software. And
yeah,
the only advantage that software had is that it had a list of all the names of people who'd signed in. And yeah, now we only get your names if you put a comment on the Facebook. So we, you know, if you want to, just put your name and where you're from, and then we can cheer each other on a little bit. But it's just great to see. We got, I'm not sure whether Hillary's in Spain or Scotland at the moment, but Denmark, Bridge North are well represented, and probably a whole host of other countries and places as well. So you're really, really welcome. We're just so glad you're able to join us this week. What's been going on in your world, Barry?
Well, we, you know, as the older I get, the more I like to talk about the weather.
You've had some snow, I believe.
We have snow, yeah, quite a bit, actually, more than we would like, but we can't complain. I on Facebook a few weeks ago, I took a picture of me in my shorts, so I guess it's, you know, I'm just getting what I deserve, so.
Yeah. I saw your daughter had put a picture of your grandson making his first snowman. So I thought, snow has come to Canada, or at least your bit of Canada.
Yeah, and of course, you know, Grandpa, how he feels when he sees it's the first snowman that our grandson, he's going to be two in January. So it was just thrilling to see that picture too.
So two in January,
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. How are things in your world?
Yeah, we're doing all okay. Thank you. We have been released from lockdown today into tier two.
Woohoo.
Which is basically lockdown with another name, I think. We can do a few more things than we could do yesterday. So we celebrated by having someone in to cut our hedge today. And I was taking all the cuttings to the tip. So that's been my day.
The tip is the dump?
Yeah. The recycling.
Yeah, okay.
Or the fancy name is the waste reception center.
See, you Brits, I tell you, you're just so fancy with it. We say, you know, I'm just going to the dump.
You know? I know, but then you know, you still call your back garden a yard. I mean, come on.
Yes, it is a yard, but you call it a garden, right?
We call it a garden, yes.
Well, you know, maybe there is still something we can learn from.
We'll send the Queen over to teach you some Queen's English, I think. Good stuff. Well, welcome everybody who's joining us. As you can see, we have a lot of fun doing this. Just a heads up, really, for the next couple of weeks, we'll be doing the webcast next Wednesday and then the following Wednesday, so two more after this, and then we'll take a Christmas New Year break. And we hope to be back on, what was it, the 6th of January or something
January
like
6th,
that?
Yeah.
January the
yeah.
6th. So a couple more weeks before we bunker down for the Christmas festivities and celebrations. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So are you ready for Christmas?
No, of course not. We've got everybody coming home, which would be really nice. So looking forward
to that.
Yes,
and that's nice because with you have a special allowance to have family, right, for four days, I think?
Four or five days. So we are using our allotted allowance.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what are we going to be talking about today, mate?
Well, I think we build it as comfort through our weakness. I think, Barry, you ought to pray for us, and then I'll kick off if you like.
Yeah.
We were having a conversation beforehand. Both our brains are addled today. So, I mean, who knows what's going to happen?
Oh, Father, we thank you that you are close to us when we're brokenhearted, and you promise to save us when we're crushed in spirit.
Yeah.
And in these times that we're entering into the holidays, Father, I know there's a lot of celebration, but there's also a lot of sadness that comes with this season, and suffering and memories and things. And Father, we just ask, as we just talk about just your love in this way of practical ways in which your love is expressed to us in very just tactile ways that we can just experience you loving us today. Father, we pray that we'd all just have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying, that anything that's happened in the day would just the peace that passes understanding, Father, we just ask that that would just guard our hearts and our minds now, so that we would be able to hear what you're saying to us. And Father, to receive comfort that we've all been created to experience. So, and I pray a blessing on Mark as he shares, and just pray for the clarity and you just help us in our minds. As jumbled as they may be, or scattered as they are today. So, but thank you. Love us either way, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Barry. I guess we just want to talk about being comforted through our weakness. And those of you who are regulars on the webcast, you've heard me talk about comfort a lot. It's something I think is just really, really important for us to not even understand, because understand has that sort of connotation of something that goes into your mind. But for me, comfort is not something we understand. It's something we experience. And so I want us this evening to experience the Father's comfort in our time together. I really believe that just right around the world, even in these next few moments, we have the opportunity to be comforted. And so I just want to encourage you that if you are in that place of needing comfort, is just to allow yourself to be comforted this evening, just to be comforted as we're together by, the Father of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles. And I just love that verse, because it's the Father of all comfort. So that's like all comfort. That's every bit of comfort that everybody needs. It's all comfort. He is the Father of all comfort. And he comforts us in all of our troubles. You know, not selective troubles, not just the ones we're thinking about, but he comforts us in all of our troubles. And so I just want you to open your hearts this evening to be comforted. One of the things I've realized about comfort is we are greatly comforted. Isaiah chapter 40, it says, comfort, comfort my people, comfort, comfort. And that repetition of comfort is really saying, may you be greatly comforted. And that's my prayer, that's my encouragement for us this evening, is that we are greatly comforted. But one of the things I've realized about comfort and being greatly comforted and going on being comforted is the vulnerability of our hearts. And somehow the more vulnerable we are, the greater level of comfort we can receive. And vulnerability is something we don't like to talk about. Perhaps vulnerability is something that the world, it's a sign of weakness. Well, it is weakness. But, the world puts it down, and it's kind of like when you're vulnerable, you feel squashed, and so we don't like to make ourselves vulnerable. But I think I've discovered that the more vulnerable we are, the greater we can be comforted. And I think in a way that's a key to receiving comfort is to being vulnerable. And to be vulnerable, it means you open yourself up. It means you expose yourself. It means you open up the part of your heart that is closed, you're holding tightly to yourself. And I'm not saying you open it up to your friends and neighbors and your work colleagues, but you open it up to the Father. You open it up to the Holy Spirit, and you say, I mean, he knows what our hearts like, but somehow, even though he knows what our hearts are like, when we bring them to him in that open vulnerability and we take the step of opening our hearts, he meets us in that moment of our vulnerability and our openness and really our weakness. And it's in that moment we can be greatly comforted. Isaiah 40, I think it's verse 11. Isaiah 40, verse 11. Isaiah writes that the Father picks us up and holds us close to his heart like a shepherd carries a lamb. And that's just a beautiful picture of intimacy. It's a beautiful picture of the vulnerable being taken into a safe and strong place. And, you know, as I just said, Isaiah 40 starts off with that, you know, tremendous declaration. Comfort, comfort ye my people, says the Lord. You know, may you be greatly comforted. And just those few verses later in verse 11, we see how that comfort comes to us. And it comes to us when we allow him to pick us up and hold us close to his heart like a shepherd carries a lamb. So this is really what Barry and I want to unpack this evening together. And just as we're talking, just as we're sharing, like I said, we believe that the Father will comfort you, that the Father will pour his comfort into your heart for whatever grief, whatever mourning, whatever expression of pain, whatever loss you're going through at this point in time, the Father will comfort you. Mm. And so really, just as we're sitting here, you know, just go on receiving. Mm. Just go on allowing that comfort to soak through.
Mm. Amen. Yeah, I agree with everything you said, Mark. And I think one of the, you know, when you touched on this idea of our vulnerability, I think one of the challenges in life, right, as we grow up, like, think about it, when you were in boarding school with all those other boys, and if you were vulnerable, especially if they were, you know, being, you know, a little bit harsh with you, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a safe place to be, right?
No.
And so I think what we have experienced, all of us, growing up in an orphan world system is, it's just this, like, how do we manage life? How do we, in a sense, how do we survive? And I think oftentimes, you know, we do our best to cope. We, you know, as you know, when I was a little boy, there was a saying, you know, when boys would cry, big boys don't cry, right? And so there is this place that I think it's like we're taught this, you know, from an absolute early age, that we're, you know, and of course in Britain, you know, the stiff upper lip is certainly one of those sayings that kind of reinforces that, you know, kind of get yourself together. And I think the more that we build those walls around our own hearts, the more we try to protect ourselves and try to be strong and trying to be manage life, I mean, the less we're able to receive comfort. And of course, with there's all kinds of it. I think one of the things that is, you know, even tonight, you know, my prayer would be that we would all of us, including Mark and I, would come to terms in our own hearts with the areas in our life where we need to be comforted right now. You know, I think oftentimes we we just try to, you know, keep calm and carry on. We just try to just do whatever we need to do to keep managing life. But, you know, and I, as Mark said, I don't think it's something where, you know, the Bible says guard your heart, you know, for out of it flows the issues of life. It's not like we're meant to just have this, you know, a heart that's bleeding everywhere we go, or because there are places where, you know, we can't trust our heart to just everybody that comes in into our connection. But when it comes to living with a continual flow of the comfort that comes from the Father, you see, I believe there is a place, and I'm on the journey just like you are, where we can learn, as Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you, remain in my love, that we can remain in the love of God, that we can keep in a place of beautiful, tender-hearted vulnerability towards God. So that when we're afraid of something in our heart makes us afraid. And now this is what I'm not talking about the corporate life, right? I'm talking more about our abiding with the Trinity. But in that place that, Father, I'm afraid right now. You know, oftentimes I think we're even afraid of the confession. I'm afraid because then we think, oh, but the, you know, I think he knows us more than we know ourselves, and he knows when we're afraid. It's not like we make agreements with fear and, you know, say, well, I'm afraid and fear, you know, believe the lies. But I think there is a place in our life where we can learn to have, actually, it's not learn, it's relearn, because we all, when we were little, when we were our little children, we were all tenderhearted. We were all vulnerable. We just lived with an open heart. But it, of course, as we grew up, you know, our hearts began to shrink. And, you know, because we were all created to experience comfort, if we don't experience it in the right place, and specifically receiving the love of the Father and his comfort, we will begin to seek it in illegitimate ways or counterfeit ways. Whether that is even religious striving, or it could be addictions. It might be in a relationship. It might be in comfort food. And, I don't know. Mark, I'm with you, and I just invite you to come back. But, for me, it's again, coming back to this place of a childlike heart. Mm. And little kids, when they are in a safe environment, I just remember with our kids when they were young, and, when they'd scrape their knee or something, and they'd come in the room, and if there's mom and dad sitting in on the couch, I mean, there'd be no question they would go to mom. But the fact is that as soon as they locked gaze with her, often they would just burst off out into tears, because it was like it was safe to be able to express the pain. And of course, what Anne would do is it would be more about comforting the little one rather than fixing. See, if they went to me as the dad, I try to fix the problem. You know, you got a stone in your knee. I'll just pull it out. Yeah. But when they came to mom, but what that required was vulnerability, and to be received comfort. And like you said, I believe that the Father, even today, because, you know, we're all dealing with things in life, and, you know, could we go to the Father and just be vulnerable and say, Father, I'm hurting here. Would you just comfort me here?
Yeah. Yeah. Just as you were speaking, Barry, I looked up the word comfort in the dictionary. And it's kind of interesting because it's almost the opposite of what we're talking about this evening. The word vulnerable means capable of being physically or emotionally wounded or injured. And of course, that's absolutely true, of course, isn't it? When we are vulnerable, we are opening ourselves up. So therefore, we are capable of being, you know, wounded. And I think that's part of the problem with vulnerability, is we've been vulnerable in the past. And, you know, we've opened our heart to people. We've opened our heart in situations, and we've been wounded. We've been hurt. And those hurts, those pains, those situations, they go deep. And, you know, we have this stupid saying, don't we, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, you know, of course, words are the things that hurt us most, words and actions. And so, you know, we've been vulnerable in the past and we've been hurt, we've been wounded, and we don't want to be vulnerable again. And for us to be vulnerable, as we're talking about tonight, it's trusting the person we're being vulnerable to. I would be vulnerable with Barry because I trust him, and I know him, and we've walked through the ups and downs of life for 17 years together. And so I would be vulnerable with Barry. And I think he probably would be with me, because we have that trust, we have that relationship together. I wouldn't be vulnerable with, you know, there's a lot of people I wouldn't be vulnerable with. I wouldn't be vulnerable with my clients. I mean, we have a very different relationship. Some clients, I'm just aware that some clients might be watching this. I might be vulnerable with you, but generally, you know, talking about tax returns and all that malarkey, you know. It's a different relationship, isn't it? But I think when we come to the Father, we can know that he is trustable. You know, he is the perfect Father. And I think, you know, some of us, you know, father figures perhaps haven't been the best example in our life, and maybe our own fathers, our own mothers have hurt us and wounded us. And so we see the Father, we see the Heavenly Father through the filter of that earthly experience. And, you know, for us to be greatly comforted by the Father's love, we need to just remove, we need to pull those filters out of the way so that we don't see the Father through the filter of our earthly fathers and mothers, but we see him for who he is. We see him as being totally, totally dependable, totally, totally trustworthy. And, you know, if we can see him like that, then we can begin to trust and we can begin to open our hearts and be vulnerable before him. And so maybe, you know, maybe a blockage for you has been that sense of, I can't open myself up to God because I'll be, you know, that trust will be abused because of your own experience. And I just want to encourage you this evening just to bring those experiences of your past, of your history to the Father and say, Father, will you wash me? Will you wash those away so that those experiences don't become a filter through which I see you?
Yeah, I believe that trust is the foundation in which we can open our hearts to receive comfort. And of course, you know, King David wrote, I learned to trust you on my mother's breast. And oftentimes that was the place where trust was broken, and with our parents. And I really believe there is a way, there is an invitation that Jesus really encourages us to go to that place where God is our Father, and that we can really trust him with all our heart and not lean to our own understanding. And the more that we can reestablish that trust with him. And I think one of the things that, you know, when we struggle to even to trust God, to open our hearts up to him so that he can actually comfort us, is because we don't feel safe, right? We're not quite sure. And like you said, often that's rooted in what we've experienced in parental love, what we've experienced in maybe love in a church community, with leaders, with an orphan world system. And so, of course, as Jesus, he was the image of the invisible God. So everything that he did was a manifestation of his Father. And he came to dismantle every one of those misconceptions of his Father's nature. And in John 14, when Jesus starts off the chapter, he says, trust in God, trust also in me. Yeah. And then he says, in my Father's house are many rooms, and I go away to prepare a place for you so you can be with me where I am. And I really believe that even tonight, I always like when James Jordan would say, we're talking about love, the substance of love is stuff. You know, it's like, I believe, that what the Father wants to give to you tonight and to me, Mark and I are looking at a screen at each other, so we're preaching to ourselves here. But I believe that what if the Father would want to just give you, impart to you something of the substance of his love, the substance of his faithfulness. He keeps no records of wrong. He's not the general angry old man in the sky. You know, he is a loving Father. Yeah. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1 that he is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, comfort. And I was just thinking, Mark, of the stuff of comfort, you know, and I think of the Isaiah 61, and that's the passage of scripture where, you know, Jesus proclaimed the good news, and that's, you know, what launched his public ministry when he went into the synagogue and he opened up the scriptures and he read this. But it's actually, there's a substance, you know, when he says that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty, that's stuff, instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And in my heart, you know, as you've been sharing, Mark, and I just believe that the Father wants to impart the substance of his love that brings comfort tonight.
Yeah. I was just thinking of, we both mentioned the passage in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians starts off chapter 1, the God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our troubles. But 2 Corinthians ends with the passage on weakness. And what Paul is talking about before he gets to the well-known bit about weakness, about the thorn in the flesh and God's power being made manifest through our weakness, he talks about, he calls them super apostles. At least the NIV calls them super apostles. I don't know what Paul called them, but the NIV calls them super apostles. And, you know, and it's very much what he was referring to in Galatians. You know, if anyone preaches another gospel, it's no other gospel, you know, but it's, you know, it's the only gospel is what I've taught you. But, you know, I was reading that passage in 2 Corinthians 11 a bit earlier, and Paul is talking about these are super apostles. And you get the impression that they had it all together. You know, they were driving around in their slick chariots and donkeys and horses and Mercedes or private airlines or, you know, whatever the equivalent, you know. But you get the impression they had it all together and they had a good performance and they were just the super apostles that everybody wanted to hear. And Paul says, no, it's not like that. It's the weakness. You know, Paul says, I've had this thorn in the flesh, which, you know, Satan wanted to torment me with, but it's turned into being a blessing because through that, God's power is made known. And just reminded again of the passage in Matthew 11, you know, you've hidden these things from the wise and learned. You know, I guess if Paul wrote that, he would have said, Father, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the super apostles. And you've revealed them to little children. And I think, you know, the vulnerability and weakness, they just go together, don't they? And it's in that place of actually, you know, the problem is we're taught to have our act together. You know, we're taught to put on a good front. We're taught to be strong. We're taught to look good. Mm. And, I mean, right through society, you know, jobs, politicians, schools, colleges, churches, you know, everything. We're taught to look good. You know, image is really important. And particularly in this era of excess marketing, everything's got to look good.
Yeah.
And it's got to be polished and it's got to be perfect.
Mm.
But Jesus said that's not the key to enter the kingdom.
No.
The key to enter the kingdom is a childlike heart. It's, and that it is recognizing and accepting our weakness and our vulnerability, and saying, Father, I can't do it. That there's an incredible power in giving up.
Mm.
Because we don't like to give up, do we? We like to keep going and keep trying. And sometimes I think we've carried things for a long time, and we've tried to get through it. We've carried our difficult circumstances. We've carried our pain. We've carried those things that grieve us. And we carry them, and we want to cope, and we want to get through it in our own strength, and we want to pray more and do all this sort of stuff, and we don't see the fruit.
Yeah.
But there comes a point in time when we give up.
Mm.
And the power of giving up is incredible.
Mm.
I don't fully understand it, but I know in my own life, in different situations, different circumstances, I've got to the point of saying, Father, I can't do it anymore. I can't work this out anymore. I can't fix it anymore. And I think he goes, oh, good.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for that. And it's in that moment that we give up. What we do is we embrace our weakness. We embrace our vulnerability. And that's the moment that he can comfort us, that he can pour his love into our heart, that suddenly we discover that his power is made known through our weakness. And I don't think that's always easy to get to that place. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's not easy to get to that place and say, I can't do it. Because we might lose face with our friends or our family. We might feel we've lost face with God. We might feel that we're not good enough, for the shame, you know. And so it's not easy to give up, but there is a power in giving up. There's a power in letting go. That he can then move in. Yeah. And maybe that's what needs to happen for us this evening. Maybe we need to just give up.
Mm.
And just say, Father, I can't do it anymore. Actually, we haven't been able to do it all along, you know. And, you know, when we're saying I can't do it, he's just saying, yeah, I know you can't do it, you know. And it's like, Father, I give up. Maybe that needs to be our prayer tonight. Father, I give up.
Mm.
It takes trust. It's not easy. But in doing it, that's the doorway for his love to pour into our hearts, his comfort to pour into our hearts.
Yeah. George Mueller, the champion of the orphans in the UK, one of his statements that I love is, God begins where human effort ends.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, you know, the prodigal son really had to exhaust all his resources, his own abilities, and ending up in a pig pen. And it was need that actually brought him to his senses.
Yeah.
It was need that said, you know, what am I thinking? What am I doing? You know, I'm going to head home. Even though he had even a distorted understanding of how he could access his father's house again. And, it was the actual need that actually brought him to a place of returning to his father. And of course, we know that the father didn't in any way, shape, or form judge him. The father loved him. The father threw a party for him. The father was couldn't stop kissing him. And immediately he was restored to everything that he had thought he had lost. And, you know, I was thinking, Mark, when you were talking about that, about just the the road that we come to, and of course, a lot of the mystics of old used to call it surrender, where we have a surrendered life. And really, all that is coming to terms with our weakness, coming to terms with our frailty. When I think about humility, I wonder if you know, and our little children have this beautiful humility inside of them. But in Corinthians, it says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So it's like we are still broken clay pots. But at the same time, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit indwell us with His with their presence. In Psalm 51, I was thinking when Mark was speaking of verse 16, King David is praying to God, and he says these words: "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings." And then verse 17, he says, "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. You, God, will not despise." Wow. When you think about that for a second, you know, like King David, he's really keen on pleasing the God. He goes, well, you know, if it was working, if it was doing, if it was, you know, burnt offerings, like, what do I need to do? But he came to an end to himself where he realized, "My sacrifice, oh God, is a broken spirit, a broken in a contrite heart you will not despise." And so, Psalm 113, verse 13 and 14, again, King David, who wrote this, also wrote, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we are made. He remembers that we came from dust." You know, I think oftentimes we are afraid to be weak. We are afraid to be vulnerable. We're afraid to be honest about our struggles with God, because somehow we think that that kind of honesty and transparency would cause God to be disappointed in us or frustrated with us or mad. But the reality is he, when he sees us, when he sees our brokenness, his heart is filled with compassion for us. And as King David said, "For he knows how we are made. He remembers that we came from dust. He knows our origin. He knows that we're frail." He's not surprised by any of those things that we struggle with. And I just believe that there's a revelation of love that comes. You know, Jesus said in the Gospels, he said, "Those who have been forgiven much will love much." You know, it's just, it's not that some need to be forgiven more or less, but it's the revelation of our estate, the revelation that we need a Savior, the revelation that we're weak and we're vulnerable and we're little. And I think that's, again, why the revelation of a childlike heart is just so valuable to God's sight, because the little ones, they haven't developed the independence and the self-sufficiency and all the things that start to cover up the vulnerability, you know, and we start to harden our heart and we just lose that tenderness. And I just believe even tonight that the Father in his love wants to wrap his arms around you in whatever you're struggling with, whatever the uncertainties of life, and that he would just pour his love, his tangible love, the oil of joy, a garment of praise, a crown of beauty. He wants to bind up practically our broken hearts, and he wants to set the captives free. And so, you know, Mark, if you have, you know, any thoughts on that, but I don't know. I just feel that there's something of a substance mm-hmm. of his love that is imparted through comfort, right?
Yeah.
Because if we receive comfort, there's an exchange. Something happens yeah. in a realm where it sets our hearts at rest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to ask us a question, really. Is, can we allow ourselves to be carried?
Mm.
Can we allow ourselves to be held by the Father? Deuteronomy 1:29 says this. And I love this passage. Moses is talking to the Israelites, and they are in rebellion against God. I mean, they're walking their own independent way. They've chosen to walk their way, not follow what God wants them to do. And Moses says this to them right in the middle of their rebellion. Verse 29, he says, I said to you, do not be terrified, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, he will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes and in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. And our Father wants to carry us. You know, yeah, he wants to take our burdens. You know, Peter says, cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. Yes, we can give him our burdens, but he wants to do something so much greater than carrying our burdens. He wants to carry us. That's what Isaiah said, you know, he picks us up like a shepherd carries a lamb. And so that's my little, I guess that's my question for us this evening is, can you allow yourself to be carried? Because as you do, you're recognizing your vulnerability and you're recognizing his ability to hold you in that embrace and to comfort you. And so, Barry, I think let's just spend a few moments praying. We're praying for ourselves as much as everybody else today. That the God of all comfort would comfort us in all of our troubles. And you know what you need to be comforted for. You know the struggles, you know the grief. I think for some people this year has been a year of grief. It's been a year of sadness. It's been a year of mourning. And every loss is a loss. And I'm not just, you know, I'm not just talking about us losing loved ones, which many, many people have done this year. But any loss, you know, we've lost our freedom. We've lost the ability to travel. We've lost the ability to see friends and family. They are losses. And we need to be able to grieve and mourn every loss. Yes. For some of us, it's been our health, it's been finances. And you know what it is for you. And maybe you've not allowed yourselves to mourn or grieve that loss. But just as we take these few moments, can I encourage you to allow yourself to recognize, first of all, that you've lost something. Recognize the loss. Just allow yourselves to begin to grieve and mourn that loss. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And as we mourn, as we grieve, the Father will comfort us. But you know, let's let him carry us. Let's let him hold us in his embrace, where we can be comforted as a father comforts, as a mother comforts a little child. So, Father, we do just come to you. Father, we come to you in our weakness. We come to you in our vulnerability. And we ask you, Father, to comfort us. Father, you have promised that you will comfort those who mourn. And Father, may we just recognize the losses we've experienced or the losses we are experiencing now. Whatever loss that is, it's still a loss. And Father, we want to recognize that loss. And we want to recognize that we really can't do anything about it. We can't fix it. We can't man up and get through it. And Father, we just in simple vulnerability want to give up tonight and allow you to wrap your arms around us and pour your comfort into our hearts. And so Father, I just ask that your comfort, the substance, the tangible substance of your comforting love would fill our hearts right this very moment. And Father, if the tears need to flow, Father, we just let the tears flow. Father, if we need to just open up that well of emotion that we've locked up for so long, we just let it flow, because we know we're in a safe place in your embrace. Father, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. When we lose something dear to us, you become the one most dear to us. And Father, we want to be comforted tonight with your love. Where we've tried false comforts, Father, we just want to recognize that maybe they've had some temporary benefit, but they don't bring lasting relief from the pain and anguish that we feel. And Father, we want to put those false comforts to one side tonight, today, and we want to go to the source of all comfort. We want to go to the Father of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, that there is no trouble too big and no trouble too small for you, that you want to comfort and that you will comfort us in. So Father, right around the world, right in this moment, would you be our comfort? Father, would you hold us in your loving arms and comfort us? Thank you, Father.
Yeah, thank you. And Father, we just ask that we would just be aware of your nearness right now.
Yeah.
Because your word says that you are close to the brokenhearted. And you will save those who are crushed in spirit.
Yeah.
Father, oftentimes the lie that we believe is that we're all alone. That we have to fix this ourselves. We have to tough it out.
Yeah.
And the promise that you have given us is, I will never leave you or forsake you.
Yeah.
And Father, we pray that those words, the promise that comes from your heart, I will never leave you or forsake you, would go deep into our spirits, Father. And that there, even in this moment, that there would be a substance of and a reassurance that goes deep into our hearts right now, to know that we are not alone.
Thank you, Father.
And I thank you, Father, that the root word for compassion in the Latin means to suffer together. And you are called the Father of compassion. And so, Father, the reality is you do not insulate yourself from the sufferings of your little ones, but you enter into the fray with us. You are there with us. You identify with our pain and our struggle. And I just pray, Father, right now for all of us, that there would just be an awakening in our own hearts, how abiding you are, how close you are, how attentive you are to our needs, and how your heart is filled with compassion towards us, because you know how we are made, Father. You remember that we came from dust. You know our frailty. As Paul wrote in Timothy, even when we are faithless, you remain faithful, because you cannot disown who you are. You have bound your heart to our hearts through the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And Father, I just pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that the substance of the crown of beauty for ashes would come. The oil of joy would come, Father, for mourning. And a garment of praise would come for the spirit of heaviness. And Father, that there would just be a setting free from the things that have bound us up, and kept us enslaved in prisons of our own mind. Father, I just pray for the substance of your love to go deep into our hearts by the outpouring of your Holy Spirit, even right now, Father.
Yeah.
That you would know that you are closer than a brother, that you know us and understand us like no one ever has known us or understood us our entire life. Father, I just pray right now in this moment that you would begin the beautiful journey or continue the beautiful journey of restoring childlike trust. Because you are a faithful Father.
Yeah.
You will never let us down.
Yeah.
And I just pray, Father, even now that the broken trust, the wounded trust, where trust has been violated in our lives, Father, would you begin in a greater way today than yesterday to restore our ability to trust you with all our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. Thank you, Abba, that all you've ever wanted us to do is surrender, to acknowledge that we're weak, to be vulnerable, not to pretend that we're something that we're not, so that when we are weak, we can have the strength of the Godhead in us and through us. So, Father, we just want to come to you as your little ones today and just acknowledge our poverty in our own hearts. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Thank you that you have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the strong. You have chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the rich. You've chosen the poor things of the world to confound and shame the strong. Thank you that the kingdom of our God and Father that we have been translated into is a kingdom that is not operating out of the values of this world system. So everything of the orphan world system, the orphan belief system, the orphan heart that still influences us, Father, would you just love the orphan out of us today? Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you, Abba.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Ooh. May we go on being comforted.
Yeah.
May we go on. May you go on being comforted. May the Father go on pouring his comforting love into your hearts. There is nothing too big, nothing too small for him.
Mm.
Just be comforted.
Mm.
And allow him to carry you. And when you wake up tomorrow, remember to be carried by your Father.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you guys for joining us once again. And we will see you next week. Same time, same place. Don't know what we're going to be doing yet, but we'll be here. So have a good rest of the day. Good rest of the week, and we'll see you next Wednesday.
Yes, bless you guys. Bless see you next week.
Thanks, Barry.
Thanks, Mark.